Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Kelly, do you want to count us down in a different language other than English?
Sure.
Hit us with it.
Ready?
Yep.
Ein, zwei, drei.
What?
Oh, shit, I didn't count down, I counted up. Whatever.
Oh, God, I forgot that my hand's fucked up there.
Oh, dude.
Oh, Andre, just smack your shoulder.
You big, beautiful lady.
I feel so stupid. I just, like, smacked all my stitches. Oh, that fucking hurt. Oh, damn it. I forgot it was a thing. So when it comes to, like, doing shit on my computer, I had no idea how much I actually utilized my left hand until I can't really use it. And I'm like, oh, shit. I guess I'm, like,
it's time to start writing long form.
Yes, I'm, like, low-key ambidextrous.
Get a quill.
Welcome to Bros of Murder, where we support capitalism. Very hard. Jeff Bezos, you bastard. I'm really
lying in the dick.
Yeah, I'm really upset he didn't Event Horizon himself. I really wanted that news.
Maybe next time. Maybe we'll get lucky.
I remember one time Battle called me and he was like, hey, I was listening to a recent episode. Why is Amazon a sponsor? And I was like, oh, I didn't know that. He was like, yeah, I don't like that. I was like, yeah, me neither. But welcome to Bros of Murder, where, you know, we talk about true crime cases of color, play music, and we do all that jazz. What?
I just had a delay reaction to what you said.
Oh.
I should have played it off as you were lagging. That would have been good.
I was very confused. But yeah, so this episode, we're doing unsolved cases, even though Battle hates unsolved cases, but I also hate Battle. So this kind of works out for me both ways. So who wants to go first? Because my case, it started out as an unsolved thing, but someone got charged literally yesterday. So I'm still going to cover it and just talk about who done it. Well, might have done it. So I guess I can go first. Battle, do you want to, like, take us into our,
you
into,
could,
you know,
you could go ahead and go first. I do have a case. It's like an update case.
Yeah. So let's start with
like,
you.
Like an update. Yeah.
Yeah. Keep it fresh.
Artlist IO.
I got no drip in my pocket. Must have forgot it, or maybe I already lost it. Don't got enough to go cop it. I'm about to take off like a rocket. Houston, we might have a problem, but that don't mean money will solve them. No, that don't mean money will solve them. Woke up dreaming other commas, and I got a.
So, for those of you that don't know, it's me, Battle. Hey.
It's bitch.
But you all remember sometime last year when I covered a case from Netflix's Unsolved Mysteries reboot? You know, I covered the case of Alonzo Brooks.
I think I do.
Yes.
Okay, yep, so Alonzo Brooks. Well, guess what? There have been updates on that case. Yes. Ooh. So for everyone that's not familiar with Alonzo Brooks, you can go back and listen to the episode or watch the Unsolved Mystery about Alonzo Brooks, or
do both.
Yeah.
You have time.
But I'll tell you a little bit about his tragic end. Yes. So back in 2004, Alonzo went to a party with some of his friends and BFE, Bumfuck Egypt. So he went and some random like place.
Wait, what was the
BFE?
Name?
Bumfuck Egypt. I think it was in. It's just like set somewhere like in the middle, in the middle of nowhere. So during this party, there was a bunch of people there. There's like over 100 people, but there's also some white people using some racial slurs. But Alonzo was like, okay, whatever. I'm having a good time. I'm talking to people, whatever. So he was just being chill about the situation and everything. And, you know, he gets it. Some people are just fucking assholes. You get that everywhere. And sometimes you just don't want to waste your breath or your time, especially if you're having a good time. Eventually, though, his friends decide to leave the party. And Alonzo insists on staying at the party because he was talking to someone and he thought everything was good. But unfortunately, for his friends, that was going to be the last time they would see him alive. Because after the party or the next day, he ends up going missing. So, fast forward a little bit, it took nearly a month of searching for them to eventually find his body that was located on the side of a creek. And again, another unfortunate event that happened was that there was no good information that came from finding his body, as the autopsy report didn't really determine some type of cause of death. They were just like, oh, he drowned. Or, oh, he died of natural causes on the side of a creek. Okay, I got you. So, where are we now?
I wish the listeners could see Battle's facial expressions when he said, okay, I got you. They're very sarcastic.
Yeah, well, because it's so fucking, yeah. Like, right? Okay, yeah. Natural causes. So, after the release of the Netflix documentary, or the reboot of Unsolved Mysteries, the internet went crazy, just like the internet does. And of course, people wanted to know more, and everyone knew something was wrong, and the internet does what the internet does. They start to investigate it themselves. This actually caused so much of an uproar that in 2019, the Department of Justice and the FBI reopened the investigation surrounding his death. Not only that, but according to CNN, the FBI actually started to offer a $100,000 reward to anyone that had any type of information regarding his death. Not only that, but last year, I think last July, his body was exhumed and they did another autopsy. And guess what? They determined
he was alive the whole time.
That, no, not at all. Could you imagine? Like, yeah, no. It turned out that they ruled it a homicide. There was enough evidence to prove that, okay, yes, yeah, someone killed him, but the people that did the original one just didn't do their due diligence. They just didn't give a shit. But his body was taken to Dover Air Force Base.
I don't understand how that happens.
I think...
You don't?
I don't get how that happens.
I mean, I'm always just of the opinion, like, if you are the person who did that, you did it intentionally, and you're trying to cover up something.
Are you, like...
If they don't investigate?
If they're just like, oh, it was a suicide.
Yeah.
Sweep it under the rug.
And then someone else is like, this is a murder. Like, how does a first person...
Well, you have to remember, too, that Alonzo was black and Mexican, and he was in Kansas, where a lot of white people are, and he was, unfortunately, in a rural area where a lot of white people were that probably didn't see a lot of black people. So they're just like, okay, this dude died of natural causes, but...
So it's probably just more negligence than,
yes,
like, kind of cover up.
Yeah.
All right.
So, according to a statement by acting U.S. Attorney Dustin Slinkard, he said that we knew that Alonzo Brooke died under very suspicious circumstances. This new examination by a team of the world's best forensic pathologists and expert establishes that this was no accident. Alonzo Brooks was killed. We are doing everything we can and will spare no resources to bring those responsible to justice. So, because new things are coming in, coming into light, it's important to note that authorities haven't made any arrests so far, and they have yet to put out any updates. And this is probably because they want to protect his family or protect what they know about the murder. And this is the update that I have for you all. And I hope that we get something more. We get more information so we could put it out there. And hopefully we have better news than what we have now. And unfortunately, as of right now, this is still an unsolved case. But there you go. There's the update corner.
Updated from unusual death to murder.
Yeah, so yeah, it's still, yeah. So something more, something less suspicious, something even more suspicious. Because now it's like,
right,
who did it? Why would they want to do it? Because I do remember the case, and like, there wasn't like really any motives anyone would have to like want to kill him. I remember you when you covered it the first time. Like, he seemed like he's a normal, chill dude.
Yeah, he got ready before the party and everything, and you know they found like his boot like on the side of the road, like his boots, yeah. And he was just walking around barefoot, which was out of his character. But they also noted that he was talking to some girl, and then these other people were getting upset, and it was just such a weird situation.
Yeah, so I'm yeah, very curious.
Like, yeah, I don't think there needs to be like a clear like motive. It's probably just one of those things where like people were being racist and got carried away with their
drinking.
Shitty, yeah. Yeah.
That's I'm very curious to see like what comes of that in the future. Hopefully, the near future, and we don't have to wait years for someone to like get convicted or charged.
Hopefully the trail's not too cold.
Yeah.
Given the time that's passed. Well, and I mean, if it was like a traumatic fight or something at that party, like chances are someone who was there remembers it.
Or multiple people there probably remember it.
It was said there was like 100 people at this party.
Yeah. So I'm assuming there's a good chunk of people someone probably know. Something. Yeah. Somebody probably knows something and they're just covering their ass, their friend's ass, or like, maybe threaten by someone at the talk.
Yep.
Especially if it's, like you say, it's a small town too, so shit sketch. But I think this is a good transition into my case because it started out, like I said, as an unsolved crime that happened back in May. And then someone recently got charged and there's going to be an update in the future because they're going to trial August 3rd. What's today? The 27th, right?
28th.
Right?
27th.
28th. Yeah, so I'm going to have to give another update.
Yes.
I want to give another update after the actual hearing, but mine is about a boy with autism whose body was found by hikers in Nevada back in May 28th.
Nevada.
Nevada? Are you sure? Is that Nevada?
Yes. It's not Nevada. You probably say Oregon, too.
Oh, you probably say Arkansas.
No, I say Arkansas. It's Nevada.
So anyway, yeah.
Stop that. Stop being...
I feel very attacked. Battle is a fat cunt.
I am.
That's called a... All right, so anyway, back to my...
That was a great throwback.
Yeah, it's called a callback. All right, so back to my case. So now the person who is being charged and investigated in this crime is actually the boy's mother, Samantha Rodriguez. She is the mother of Liam Hudson, whose body was found and discovered by hikers in Nevada off a highway by a creek due to strangulation, out of all things. So now, the 7-year-old boy who's from California disappeared, and if you follow, like, you know, the news and crime buzz, you would have seen, you know, this case kind of going on for a little bit, for a couple weeks, and people just didn't know what happened. They found him, they did an autopsy, found out he died of strangulation, and that was about it. So his body was discovered on May 28th on off of a highway, and he disappeared from his home in San Juan, California. Liam's death was a homicide by strangulation, and the coroner estimated that it took about 15 minutes for him to die of strangulation. So, yeah, so it wasn't like a quick death. The indications showed that it was very prolonged and very violent. Liam was last seen with his mother, 35-year-old Samantha, after the two had left their California home on May 24th. They were spotted together on May 26th in Laguna Beach, about 200 miles south of Las Vegas. So Nicholas Hudson, I keep saying Hudson, I'm sorry, it's Husted. Nicholas Husted, told police that on May 24th, he arrived to the family's home and noticed that his son and wife were gone, along with all their belongings. So it seemed like she just packed up everything of theirs and they both just left. He reportedly told detectives that he had a voicemail from Samantha saying, "I'm sorry I had to do this." And that's it. So the search for Liam began, and they also noted that, you know, he was on the autism spectrum disorder, like, you know, he's on a spectrum, and that quickly aroused like more attention from everybody to try to find his kid. And the FBI actually put out a $10,000 reward for any information. So as the investigation continued, they discovered that his mom was staying in a hotel in Las Vegas, and she checked in there on May 27th, the day before the body was discovered in the bush. On June 8th, the mother was arrested and charged with murder. At the hearing on the 3rd...
<Go ahead. laughs> Sorry, that's my cat. His name's Linguini, and he is a noisy boy.
I thought it was mine at first. I was like, wait a minute, is that me? I was like, no, she's sleeping. Yeah, so on June 3rd, when she was brought into police station, she confessed to killing Liam. She said that, you know, she said that she had strangled him, taken off all of his clothes, and left him naked in the desert. She didn't explain why he took all of his clothing. I'm assuming it was to, like, try to get rid of any evidence or, like, you know, anything, you know, just try to, like, get rid of anything that could be linked to her. I can't think of any real other reason why she would, like, disrobe him. And it's just a crazy case of fallicide. She said that she was just frustrated with her child, and that's why she strangled them. And that's all we really have right now. She's going to be going to a hearing on August 3rd, and I'm going to update after that hearing. And I'm just curious to see, like, what her reasoning is. Because just saying that you were just frustrated with the child, a lot can be taken from that. Because there have been many cases of, like, parents of children with, like, autism and other, like, health issues or disorders or neurological disorders who do kill their kids out of just, like, frustration of having to deal with that. And that's, I feel like, even more fucked up than killing a child is fucked up. Killing anybody is fucked up. But I think, especially when you kill a kid because you're upset that they have, like, a neurological disorder or the neurodivergent, I don't know, it hits close to home for me because my brother's autistic.
Kind of makes me think of, like, shaken baby syndrome.
Yeah.
You know?
It's just really, it's just disgusting.
But, I mean, obviously.
Worse.
Well, and it's kind of confusing because there was clearly, like, no attempt to, like, cover their tracks.
No, because, like, there's a paper trail, staying at the hotels and shit like that.
They were seen leaving together, they left a voicemail.
Yeah, they were seen, apparently, I was looking on Reddit, there's, like, CCC footage of them. Like, there was no attempt to hide themselves. And then when it comes to packing up all your things and leaving, I don't, that just doesn't scream to me, like, someone who, I don't know.
No, it doesn't make any sense. Like, and why go to the desert to do that?
Yeah,
and I'm not gonna cover your tracks.
And I'm waiting for the hearing. I want to hear more from the father's side, because, like, from what I've seen, no one has been reporting anything like, oh, there was, like, domestic violence issues and issues in a marriage. I can only assume there might have been issues in the marriage that make her want to leave, but issues enough to, like, want to marry your kid? I don't know.
It makes me think that, like, there's, yeah, like, more to it, where it wasn't just she was frustrated, but maybe she herself is suffering from some kind of mental mm-hmm. health
yeah.
issue. Because it doesn't seem, like, obviously that's not, like, a rational
at all, yeah.
step. And but it doesn't seem like, yeah, like you said, it doesn't seem like it was, like, intentional or, like pre-planned or anything
yeah, that's
like that.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. It didn't seem like it was pre-planned, but at the same time, this happened over the course of, like, a couple days. So it was like, I don't know. It's going to be hard yeah. to be like, oh, you had a psychotic break. When it's like, I don't know. I'm just going to have to wait to hear it. It reminds me.
But I mean, psychotic breaks can
last
a while. Not that I'm obviously there's no excuse for, like, killing someone else.
I think the biggest thing for me is the, like, the whole 15 minutes of strangulation. Because, like, all right, you had a psychotic yeah. break. You started to strangle someone in.
That's a long time to think about that while you're staring at them.
Yeah, that whole 15 minutes. Like, and strangulation is personal. Like, you're looking at someone doing that. So, like, 15 minutes, yeah. that's like, you could have stopped. You had a big window to stop. There's no excuses for it. It reminds me of this case of a YouTuber who killed her child. Oh God, I can't think of the name.
What?
I'll link a video in the show notes. I'll send it to you guys later. I gotta find a video. But basically, this woman, her daughter had autism, and she would have like a lot of violent outbursts. And what she would do is she would document it all and put it on YouTube. And like everything on a YouTube seemed like fine. They were praying together. She would kind of document like all the issues. And it got to the point though where she was like, where she was really suffering, quote unquote, in silence. And she got so frustrated with her kid that one day she took her out to the woods in a van. They went to go, quote unquote, make s'mores. And after, so she was like feeding her s'mores the whole time, having a grand old time. Then put the girl in a car with her, and it put a bunch of coals in the backseat of the car and lit all the coals on fire to suffocate them both.
Jesus.
Yeah.
That also makes me think of that family who, like, where there's that picture of the little boy hugging the cop, and he's like a little black boy, and what happened, like, yeah, with their whole family. That shit's crazy.
Yeah. But this woman, luckily they both didn't die. The girl was in a coma for a little bit, but she came back to it. And the crazy thing about that whole case is, like, if you go to her YouTube channel when it was still up, people were in the comment sections like praising her, like, oh, I completely understand what you did, you're not a monster, like, she was a violent animal. And it's like, that was like a kid with autism, like, what the fuck.
Yeah, man, those parasocial relationships really
that
hit
is so strange.
Defending a murderer.
I'm gonna send it to you guys, because like I was just baffled, and I'm pretty sure the YouTube channel is down now, but it was up for a long time.
That's Elliot Rodgers is still up. I'm pretty sure.
I really want to cover him.
In what?
You should.
Elliot Rodgers.
Feces.
I want to cover him in bees.
Like, gosh, that was such an interesting case. I watch the little case sometimes. I'm just like,
yeah,
wow.
There is. I'm gonna do another. I have a case ready on another YouTuber who killed her parents. I. There's something about like people who do internet things, like make content on the internet, and then also commit murders that just like fascinate me. Cause it's that whole like mask off moment, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and you have that, like, all that evidence of their descent into that.
Like the girl I'm talking
where, like,
about.
You can like go back and watch thousands of hours, exactly, and just like look at all the little pieces that like suddenly make sense.
The girl I'm talking about, she literally, after she committed the murder, she went on YouTube and talked about why she did it. She's like trying to deflect it on her parents, like make it like their fault. And then later admitted, like, no, I just wanted to.
Did
all
she
right,
go
I'm
to jail? Okay, yeah, send this to me.
Yeah,
we'll get to this later. Because I need to hear this. Like,
bitch.
Sorry, everyone.
Bitch. Yeah, sorry. But yeah, no, that's my case. I'll be giving an update after that. It's like I said, the hearing's on August 3rd. So you'll be getting an update soonish about that. And before we go on, we can go into a little break.
Before we go on, we'll go ahead and go into a little break.
I can see you talking.
Oh my gosh, we're going into a break, like always.
And now, a short commercial break.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay, so my case starts in like 1500, 1584. When does yours start?
I wasn't expecting that. So I'm sorry. It's a day.
Is yours more recent?
Yes.
You should go first.
Okay. I thought yours was going to... this is chaotic today. So my case starts on January 20th, 1982. A 19-year-old woman named Lisa Au gets off work and goes to the grocery store to pick up a few things, then heads over to her boyfriend's sister's house to meet her and her boyfriend for dinner. She leaves around 12:30 at night and is not seen again. In the morning, when her parents realize she's missing, they call her boyfriend Doug Holmes, the one she'd been having dinner with the night before, and he comes over to look for her with her parents, and they find her car abandoned on the side of the highway with the window partially lowered. It had been raining heavily, because this is in Honolulu, and at least like 2 to 3 inches of water in her car, so her car is soaked, but they find her purse sitting on top of the wet seat, completely dry, missing her driver's license.
And how much water did you say was in the car?
Like 2 to 3 inches, like
that's a good amount
on the bottom. Yeah, so it was like heavy raining while the window was open. So they call the police to report her missing and what they found so far. A statewide search commenced, and 10 days later, her body was found in a ravine without any clothes. So her death was quickly ruled a homicide just based on the circumstances. And due to the level of decomposition, as well as little else in the way of forensic evidence, the cause of death was not determined. But because of the state with which Lisa's car was found, the main theory of her death was that a police officer or someone posing as one was the person who did this to her. The Honolulu Police Department received a lot of heat for their handling of the case. Policies on unmarked cars were directly affected due to the public outcry, and an officer was investigated for her death, but nothing came of it. Her driver's license was found at a grocery store, eventually.
Wait, like, found and where at a grocery store? Like, inside the grocery store? Or what?
So, the night she went missing, she had been buying groceries for the dinner, and, because, like, you had to show your ID if you wrote a check. She had shown her ID and forgot to take it with her, so she left it there. So that's why it was missing. Because of the stagnation on the case, Lisa's family hired a former homicide detective as a private investigator. He disproved the police's theory that an officer had killed Lisa, as well as highlighted the lack of investigative work on her case. He believed that had basic work been done, that the case would be closed now. Doug Holmes, Lisa's boyfriend, was also another main suspect of the investigation. The couple had been seen by a security guard that night of her disappearance, arguing before she left the sister's home. And then shortly after she left, the security guard saw him leave, following her, essentially. Her boyfriend failed 2 separate lie detector tests, though, disclaimer, like, we know that lie detector tests don't really mean much.
Yeah, unless you're watching Steve Wilco.
Faulty they are.
It means everything.
Yes, yes.
I mean, they're good at measuring whether or not someone's nervous, but whether or not they're telling the truth.
But whether or not they're lying, it's not.
I love this Steve Wilco show.
And I think it's so interesting that they still do them now, just because they're unreliable and they're inadmissible in court. So it doesn't matter anyway.
I think it's to, like, psychologically get someone to the point where they're ready to confess.
That's true.
Where they're like, they think that they can tell that they're gonna lie, so they just start telling the truth.
Yeah, there's different ones too, and like the sketchiest one I heard about is like the eye one. So there's like,
oh, with eye dilation, yeah.
No. So you're looking at a computer and it's a camera on you, and they ask you the questions, and they just go by like, yeah, if your eyes dilate. But it's like, that just seems so fucking sketchy.
Insert a gif of the guy from Clockwork Orange watching the movie.
Well, and my eyes dilate when, like, I make waffles. You know,
right? I'd be hungry. I'm just like, oh.
Anyway, so he claimed the reason he failed the lie detector tests is because he felt guilty for letting her drive home in a heavy rainstorm despite her inexperienced driving. A witness claims that she saw a car the night of Ao's disappearance that matched the description of Holmes's car 2 separate times. She passed him first going one direction, and she could see a female passenger who seemed to be asleep. And then when she turned around and I don't know, they didn't say the difference in time from when she saw them the first time versus the second time, but the second time she saw them, the female passenger was no longer in the car. She says that she contacted police about it as a tip and they never followed up with her. So, I mean, that goes back to like the private detective saying that they didn't do a good job. So they also exhumed her body a year after her burial. And it was just, let me find it again real quick. They were saying how, like, there was all this, her body hadn't been properly washed before burial and, like, hadn't been properly treated. So it was not so easy to, like, again, they still didn't do a great, the autopsy was inconclusive because it hadn't been treated properly. And they were talking about even exhuming it again now to maybe try and open the case again. But it goes back to, like, it's been, what, almost 40 years now? So, like, they could have conceivably, based on everything that happened, solved this murder at the time. But now a lot of those details are lost to history because people have died. And so, yeah, that's my case. Yeah, that's the thing that's, I think, most frustrating about cases like this is that there's absolutely no reason it could not have been solved. They were just, the police at the time were lazy and didn't do their jobs. And so now we can't solve it because too much time has passed.
Yeah, well, and I mean, that's kind of the nature of doing a mysteries or an unsolved episode, is we don't have a lot of evidence to go over. We don't have a ton of suspects. It is a mystery.
Yeah, kind of bare bones, especially with, like, cases of color, where, like, they really already do kind of give you scraps in it to begin with. That's the one thing we don't talk about a lot. Me and Battle, like, talked about it before, but, like, when it comes to, like, cases of people of color, it's really bare bones a lot of the times with the information. Like, you really gotta dig for it.
They're like, I'm sure that there are plenty of cases that relate to true, like, there are true crime cases that relate to people of color, but it's also so hard to even find articles, I've noticed. Just because, like, people don't want to talk about it, especially because they don't do a good job.
Yeah. Well, and, I mean, you can see it's so, like, saturated with the same cases over and over and over again.
Exactly.
Like, even, like, in, like, true crime media, like, how many times are we going to do JonBenet Ramsey?
Yep,
like,
see?
Yeah.
and like, also, like, when you see a lot of cases reported on, like, people of color, the narrative is always, like, so skewed to begin with. And, like, it's just, you can just, like, kind of read between the lines what they're saying. It's like, are you trying to say that they're a thug? I can see that's what you're trying to hint at.
Just in, like, the images people choose for, like, memorials and things on the news, like,
and like, it's, yeah,
all done very intentionally.
We're not getting on my soapbox today, but yeah, go ahead. So, Robert, take it away.
Okay, I mean, if there is no more after soapbox than your own podcast, where else
that's true. I mean, our whole podcast is kind of a soapbox if you think about it. Let's fight everyone.
Let's fight everyone.
Ooh, you should put that Nicki Minaj song in the background.
I know you don't like me. You want to fight me? Always on my page, but don't double tap like me.
So, the year is 1584. There is a man, Walter Raleigh, who funds the expedition voyage from Plymouth to America to investigate whether it would be possible to set up a colony
for these
British people.
Oh, of course.
And yeah. They sure do like those colonies. So essentially, you know, this guy's putting up a bunch of money to see, you know, where can we set up a reliable fort for the British in the Americas, recently discovered Americas. The company arrives in an area called Roanoke Island. This island is home to actually a few different tribes of people. They convince two of them to come back with them to England. These two men were Manteo and Winchese, and they are the first Native Americans who are baptized Protestant. Like, they're given positions of power, you know, whole thing. Similar treatment that, you know, many people who were brought back to England went through, of, like, being paraded around and meeting famous people as kind of like a sideshow.
Yeah, might as well say tokenized.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and then fast forward a little bit, 1585, five ships are sent back to this area, and some British soldiers are left behind with supplies. And they're like, okay, put up a fort, try to keep it. They leave, they come back again, 1586. They have been killed.
They'd be like,
there were just a few survivors, and they say that, you know, relations with the Native Americans have gone very poorly, that there's been, you know, attacks on the fort. So they're like, okay, well, that's, we have these two gentlemen, Mateo and Lanchese, who can, like, be our surrogates and, like, help convince them that it's all cool. They organize another expedition, but this time with women and children. And they're like, okay, we are going to, like, set up a town. This isn't going to be a military fort. Like, this is going to be a true, like, colony. And they, while they're setting this up, they actually have much better relations with the Native Americans. You know, because the Native Americans see them less as, like, a military force occupying them. You know, because they, again, they have women and children. They're building farms and, like, houses and things. And they're like, okay, you're, like, not trying to just steal our land and kill us. You're trying to, like, live here. And then they leave again. Or rather, Sir Walter Raleigh, White, leaves again. And he leaves behind his wife and child, who was the first child of English parents born in the United States, and her name was Virginia.
Is his name Sir Walter Raleigh?
Yes, Sir Walter Raleigh.
Wait, so he went back to England without his children?
His wife and
to go get supplies.
Men will literally go back to England and not get therapy. That's crazy.
Peace. So yes, the governor returns back to England to obtain more supplies, and then the Spanish attack the English.
The Spanish.
The Spanish. So the Spanish Navy was, like, the best in the world. And the English were, like, super pressed for resources, and they're like, okay, anybody who has a boat, you're fighting the
Anita
Spanish
the
now.
Pinta, the Sorry. Santa Maria.
Like, you're going nowhere. We're fighting the Spanish. So this guy was not able to return to the Americas for, like, quite a while because he had a boat big enough to fight Spanish Armada, so he had to hang out.
Sorry, babe, I can't come back home. I gotta, you know, fight the Spaniard.
Oh, sorry, there's just this war going on. I'm not allowed to leave the country again. So in 1602, so, you know, over, a little over 10 years later, they go back. He's able to finally get back, and everyone is gone. Or sorry, 1590. Late 1590, they go back and everyone is gone. And they're like, ah, there's probably the Native Americans killed them all again.
Womp, womp.
And because there was, you know, tension with the local people, they had a system set up. They said, okay, if you guys have to flee, what we want you to do is carve crosses into the trees if it was something serious. And then use that to mark your path, and we'll come find you. They found no crosses, but they did find two trees with carvings. One of them said C-R-O, the other said C-R-O-A-T-A-N, Croatoan, which was the name of the people.
You know what this reminds me of?
That lived near there. So they thought...
Remember that episode of SpongeBob where everyone got superpowers?
No.
And Squidward became, like, the lava guy, and his power, whenever he had to, like, shoot lava out of his head, he would just go, Krakatoa! Then a bunch of lava would shoot out of his face.
I have no idea.
What? Okay, I'll show you guys after this. Go continue.
I'm sorry. So, again, these people disappear, and when they're kind of searching around the settlement, so the settlers had this habit of, like, burying their valuables and treasure and stuff. And they found a few of those had been unearthed.
Like a hobbit.
And things like important documents and pictures were taken, but things like jewels and gold were left behind. So people were like, okay, so they weren't, like, pillaged. You know, those were valuable things to take. These things must have been left behind. And they didn't use our system of, like, carving crosses into trees to let people know that they had to flee, but they did write Croatoan. And then Sir Walter Raleigh White is just like, okay, well... I tried, and fucks off back to England. And the story kind of stops there for a long time about, like, what truly happened to these settlers. And then throughout the years, they're in that same area, there becomes a Native American tribe who's found that has gray eyes, and they claim, oh yeah, we're just part of us are the descendants of white settlers as well. Like, you know, but we're Native American. Like, we've lived here forever. The archaeologists still today are trying to, like, figure out what truly happened. And searching along Roanoke Island in these, like, Croatoan areas, they found artifacts such as, you know, English guns and rapiers and things like that, which would indicate that they were living amongst these people, that they were able to find a good, comfortable living that was not at the English fort. And maybe it was due to like lack of supplies that never came, or their inability to like sustain themselves, but they were able to find a home amongst these people who they were so fearful of, labeled as savages, warred against, but eventually they were like taken in and just became a part of the community, such to the extent that their future generations couldn't give exact details or like maintain language or things like that. They're just like, oh, we're Croatoan. What do you mean? So is it a mystery? Technically, yes, but the prevailing theory currently is that the citizens of Roanoke left and lived with the Croatoans while their founder was fighting the Spanish.
It sounds like Walter got cucked. And I support
that too.
We learned that in history class when I was a kid, because it's part of Virginia history.
Now, Kelly...
So did they teach you that? They just, like, were integrated into Native American society?
They ended it at Croatoan, finding Croatoan in the tree. That's it. That's all we knew. It was a mystery for a really long time. I think it's only recently that they'd added on to it like you did.
Kelly, correct me if I'm wrong. Croatoan, that was like Old English, right?
I don't know.
So that's what they called the tribe of people. I don't know if that was like a result of Croatoan being written or what. But I know those people are now referred to.
Have you ever looked up Old English?
Sure. I had to like read Canterbury Tales and stuff.
No. I mean like...
Yeah.
Although Shakespeare's kind of different because Shakespeare just makes up a lot of shit and then it becomes English.
By Old English, I mean like English before... How do I explain it? It used to sound like completely different. Like if you hear Old English, it sounds like gibberish. Like before... I'll send you a video. I'll send you a video and I'll like add a clip of the video I saw in here. But yeah, Old English just sounds like a mess. And you're like, I don't know how we got from there to here, but I'm glad we did.
But they need to wear fresh tangles on the village. Many of our copies. So, Vrindel is Rano.
You hear that?
Hest is horse.
That's English?
That's Old English.
Or Anglo Saxon. Oh. Old English, wow.
It sounds like he's speaking German.
It makes sense. Like, they're Germanic. All like...
Verstehen Sie Deutsch?
Sprechen Sie Deutsch.
Ich verstehe ein bisschen Deutsch.
Yeah, it's like, when I first heard that, I was like, oh, wow. That's crazy.
That's crazy.
Y'all can say all that shit. Y'all can't say an ethnic last name. But since you talk about German, have you heard of Ace T? No, Ace T. She's a black German R&B singer. She's a...
I have not. You should plug her Insta.
Yeah,
or
so she has a YouTube channel too. It's called Ace T. Her Instagram is
Ace like ACE.
ACETEE. And I'm pretty sure her Instagram is also Ace T, but I'll link it. But no, her music is amazing. I'll send it to you guys too. Like, she's a whole vibe.
And you said it was R&B.
Yeah, it's like German R&B. And it's like something that she's like. But
I'm about to go for a run, so I might listen to some Ace T on.
I'll put it in a group chat. But yeah, no, that's the episode. And enjoy the music. I would play Ace T, but I don't have the rights to that music. So.
Copyright infringement, am I right?
Yeah, all right.
Hey, I mean, as long as we listen along.
Wait, are you serious?
We're in the clear.
Yeah, that's good. That was a given commentary. That is so it alters the machine.
Commentary is transformative in nature, and it's not competing for the same audience. So,
what are you sure?
That's fair use. Critique is fair use.
Shut
But anyway,
Linguini sounds angry.
Yeah.
As fuck.
He needs to be the boy. So we can wrap this up.
Sorry. You can try to edit it out, but I don't know.
All the cases were great. Everyone did a great job. The organization I want to spotlight is a Cold Case Project. It's a great database. I use it to get my cases. Anybody can go in, like, put in a case. So, like, you don't have to be, like, an authority figure to go put it in. If you know someone or have someone who, like, died and you want answers, to get answers, you can plug in all the information there. You can also donate to help them because they do a lot of great work. I'll put their information in the show notes. Shout out to Cold Case Project Database. Enjoy the music. Robert, go feed Linguini. battle, you go do something with your hair.
What do you mean?
Putting that coconut oil in it.
Okay.
No, I meant like
okay, it looks nice. Thank you. It's just making sure.
It looks very good.
He's gonna kill you.
Yeah, Kelly, you go be Kelly.
Play with the cicadas. Catch them, yeah. Eat them. They're delicious.
Me and the cicadas are gonna go.
Did y'all hear about those like maybe hallucinogenic cicadas?
What? Are you out there eating cicadas, Robert?
Yeah, apparently that was a thing.
I have eaten a cicada. I'll show you a video of me eating
a
cicada.
Bugs. I'll eat a bug, but like I don't know about a cicada. Hey, bugs are the protein of the future. It's the most energy efficient protein. So, stop stigmatizing eating insects. That's some white people stuff.
But thanks for being.
But yeah, but do you have to like cook them and devein them? It's like eating a shrimp without like when you're eating its poop.
I used to never devein my.
I don't like ants and termites and stuff.
Eating the whole.
I mean, yeah.
They're full of shrimpy poop.
I've eaten bugs before too. Kaylee, yeah. Have you ever eaten a bug?
No.
I think it's a boy thing.
Might great place. Pick up some cricket flour and cook with
it. Oh, I would do that. I'm not going to eat a bug off the ground because I don't know where it's been. I mean, you see flies on shit and all that stuff.
I would never eat a fly.
Eat a fly. You're right.
But yeah, anyway, thanks for being here.
Bye.
Bye.
We now have breaking news.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Artlist.io
into the dark. The sweat drips down watermark. And you fire your emerald, your walls.
Music licensing reimagined.
You want it to know, to know. The right people are left and you're coming down. You're coming down with the cold, cold water. The wrong types are feeling good, feeling purple rage. You're coming down with the cold, cold haunting. You feel nothing, feeling good on the golden days. Your mind slips and you left by conscience.
Artlist.io.
The clouds pass your busy days. You're coming down with the cold, cold heart.
Music licensing reimagined.
Across the floor, you don't call anymore. And I find you in your emerald walls. I see you as you start.
Artlist.io. Music licensing reimagined.
Thank you.
Music Licensing Reimagined. Artlist IO. Music Licensing Reimagined.